Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to our phone callers. First up is David. He's listening in Fresno, California. Hi, David.
Hello. What does the Bible say when it talks about different races being together? And does the Bible ordain as far as the Old Testament race?
Well, not at all. In fact, the Bible doesn't really deal with race as much as it deals with genealogies. It deals with ethnicities, but we are all part of the human race, and at the end of the day, what the Bible deals with is running the race, completing the task the Lord Jesus Christ has given us. I think that one of the things we can say about race is, in general, with respect to humans, there are those who are of the race of Christ, they're participants in his kingdom, and those, as the Bible says, who are of their father, the devil. In other words, people who are in the kingdom of darkness and people who are in the kingdom of light. But there's no racism in Scripture whatsoever. If you are a child of Christ sitting at the foot of the cross, you don't look at someone and distinguish their value based on the amount of melatonin they have in their skin or the color of their eyes or the color of their hair. We're all part of the human race.
Okay. The reason why I asked is because I was told by a pastor that when Jesus asked the well with the woman asked Jesus why he was speaking to her because she was a Samaritan. And I was told that right there, he knew that those two races shouldn't be talking. That's why she said, "Why are you speaking to me?"
Well, there is a truth in that because there is bigotry in the hearts of human beings. If you think about the Samaritans, how did they come to be? The Samaritans came to be as a result of what happened with the Assyrian demolition of the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes in the north. When that happened, some of those who were not killed or captured or sold into slavery were left in the land. They intermarried with the Assyrians, and from that we have what the Jews actually hated, and that was the Samaritans. So there was some bigotry, there was some sin in the hearts of people because they thought these people were not worthy to be considered on the same level as Jews. We even see this in the great Apostle Peter. Think about what happened in Acts chapter 10. He gets a vision of clean and unclean food, and he sees the vision three times before he finally gets it. When he finally gets to the Gentile Cornelius, he explains to them, "I saw that vision three times, and then finally I said, ah, now I finally get it. God does not show favoritism." So what the Bible does is it paints a brush on a canvas that is not airbrushed. In other words, it paints things as they really are. It does not try to absolve even St. Peter from the warts, the moles, and the wrinkles. It shows him as he really is, but the point that's made in Scripture is that from the perspective of God, there is no such thing as race. There is no such thing as making distinctions between people in terms of superiority or inferiority on the basis of gender or station in life. In Christ, we are one.
Okay. Quick second question. What does the Bible say about different cultures marrying?
Well, no problem whatsoever. I mean, the real issue is you don't want to be unequally yoked. So there's no problem whatsoever with a French person marrying a Dutch person or someone from the Middle East marrying someone from America. The real issue ultimately is there a synergy in Christ? Because again, according to Scripture, to be unequally yoked puts you in a very precarious position, as it would your progeny.
Thank you.
You got it. Thanks for your call. Back to the phone lines. Let's talk next to Lori. She's listening in Rock Valley, Iowa. Hi, Lori.
Hi, Hank. I have a question regarding 1 Timothy 2, verse 15. I am an infertile Christian woman, and I have a hard time interpreting that, where it says that women shall be saved through childbearing.
Yeah, this does not mean that there are two different kinds of ways of being saved. One way would be to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, and the other is being a woman and bearing children. Women are saved in the midst of bearing children, but it is not the idea that you are saved by bearing children. So if you would be infertile, it would not mean that you are in some way excluded from the kingdom.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Michael. He's listening in Kansas City, Kansas. Hi.
How you doing, Hank?
I'm well, thank you.
My question is heaven a physical place or not?
Well, ultimately it is. I mean, ultimately there's a veil that separates sacred space from our place. And when Jesus appears a second time, that veil is removed, and the two habitations, as it were, the habitation of God and the habitation of humanity, are conjoined as one. So, yeah, absolutely, at that time, heaven will be physical, we will be physical, Christ is physical. So, yes. Now, however, if you were to die, we talk about you being in heaven in the sense of absent from the body, present with the Lord. So, in that sense, it is more focused on a person than a place. Again, when Jesus appears a second time, all of that changes. The universe itself that is groaning in travail, as Paul says in Romans chapter 8, is transfigured or transformed. It no longer groans, but it is liberated from its bondage to decay.
Okay. Thank you, Hank.
Well, appreciate your call.
Hi, love your ministry.
Thank you. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Stephen next. He's listening in Mount Vernon, New York. Sirius XM 131. Hi, Stephen.
Yes, how you doing, Hank? Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Is it okay for a Christian couple to use a donated embryo in order to have a child?
Well, you know what? I'm honestly flabbergasted by that question. I met a young girl named Elise, one of the most beautiful girls in the world. She was 4 years old when I met her, if I recall correctly. And now she's sitting in the studio. I just signed her Bible for her. And she is known as, if I'm right, snowflake number 94, right? And here's this beautiful girl, was adopted by Chris and Eric. And I mean, so the answer is self-evident. Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
I mean, I can't.
Thank you.
You know, you think about in God's providence, what is the likelihood that someone would call with that question today? I haven't had that question, I do not think, in 5 years. And here
wow.
I am. And not only that, but Elise, my daughter, is sitting in the studio with Elise Snowflake number 94. And they've just met each other, and it's always been sort of a prayer in my heart that they would. So Elise came in to watch the show, and so the two of them are sitting out there, and I'm looking at them through the glass.
Wow.
God is good.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's what a wonderful testimony to the fact that this is a life. You know, we talk about fetuses and we talk about embryos, but this is a human being. Now, Elise, when she was an embryo, she didn't have a fully developed personality, but she had full personhood. But now she's got a personality. And she's one of those beautiful little girls, and I got her picture right here in the studio with me, and then I'm looking at her in living color. Human being, precious in the sight of God. Spend eternity together. I'm not speechless, but I'm close to speechless that this would happen on this particular day. God is good. We are pretty close to a station break. At the other side of the break, we'll come back with more of your questions. Do remember, if you have not as yet subscribed to the Christian Research Journal, you can subscribe at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Also, you can talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. The resources that I talk about on the broadcast, you can find on the web. The web is a secure site in the sense that we live in an age of information overload. The information you'll find on the web at equip.org, carefully vetted, because life and truth really do matter. Back in a few moments with more answers to your questions.
Heaven is closer than we realize. Its boundaries overlap our own, and angels move in and out of our daily lives. While many today dismiss the existence of angels, the ancient faithful held a powerful belief that angels help carry us on our journey to God. Lifted by Angels by Joel J. Miller helps modern readers glimpse angels as early Christians did to reveal the presence and power of angels in our lives. To receive a copy of Lifted by Angels for yourself or as a terrific gift for a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Marxism, rebranded as socialism today, is making a comeback, and in the politics of the progressive left, the makeover is complete. But Marxist theory suffers the same malady as every materialist theory. It contradicts the existence of the theorist. Other topics include, what's the problem with conversion therapy? Does Galatians 5 forbid the use of medicine? The films of Alfred Hitchcock in the age of Instagram, honoring dishonorable parents. Athanasius, a C.S. Lewis of the early church, the historicity of Moses, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. In City of God, Augustine contends that there is no absurdity or incongruity in asserting a fellowship between men and angels. Augustine doesn't argue for merely the existence of angels, but that angels interact with and influence our daily lives. Many today dismiss the reality and influence of angels, but throughout history, Christians have believed that angels assist us on our journey to God, and the book, Lifted by Angels, by Joel J. Miller, helps modern readers glimpse angels as the early Christians did. Lifted by Angels will awaken you to the presence and power of angels as the heavenly guides and guardians of our lives. To receive your copy of Lifted by Angels, the presence and power of our heavenly guides and guardians, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
I'm very grateful for so many people that are joining the Christian Research Institute support team as members, people who are committing to support the Christian Research Institute and our many outreach ministries with their ongoing support. For those of you that have not yet done so, when you do that, you quite literally turbocharge our ministry. In appreciation for your support, you'll receive a personalized copy of one of my books to you, a family member or a friend. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate. Again, equip.org/donate. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Kristen, listening in Houston, Texas. Hi.
Hi, Hank. How should I respond to someone who asks why God let bad things rob children of their innocence?
Well, we live in a fallen world, Kristen, and as a result of that, there are thorns and thistles, we get diseases, we age, and ultimately we die. God could take all of the evil out of the world, but if he did, he'd have to take all of us out of the world as well, because we all sin in thought, word, and deed every single day. So what God has chosen to do is allow wheat and tares to grow up together until a final time of judgment in the end. Now, all of us live in a sin-cursed world, and we're all sinners. But those who follow Jesus Christ have become co-consummators in the kingdom, participants with Christ in the redemption of a universe that is now groaning in travail. And all of that will change ultimately when Jesus Christ comes a second time. Everything will be put to right. And then we will be in a pristine situation, no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. That's the meta-narrative of Scripture. In the beginning, there's sin. The rest of the Bible is God's unfolding plan of redemption, culminating in a new heaven and a new earth in which dwells righteousness. In terms of why God lets certain children die, we actually did an article with that title, Why Did God Let That Child Die? It is one of the best articles that we have ever featured in the Christian Research Journal. It is concise and it is compelling. One of the illustrations is an illustration of Johnny, and he's cutting a steak next to his little brother. His little brother's name is Jimmy. And suddenly, he jams the knife into Jimmy's side, and God turns the knife to rubber, and the whole family has a good laugh. But that's not a real world. That's a cartoon world, and that kind of a world, well, we could just as well encourage our children to go out and play marbles in the middle of the street. They just bounce around a lot. In that kind of a world, children wouldn't learn morality because many of their choices would lack moral consequences. In a real world, parents and their children have to learn to be responsible because natural laws do work in very regular ways. And I've often said that natural law is not a trifling matter. If you disobey natural laws, it's very much like cutting off the branch on which you're sitting. It ends up in a crash.
Right. But children that don't know and that are exposed.
Well, God could have created a world in which there was no bad thing, in which there was no evil. But if he did, then there wouldn't be free will. So God creates a universe in which we have the opportunity to respond to his love and grace and mercy or to reject it. And without that, love would not be genuine. It would not be real. Think about God creating an alternate universe in which there was no choice. Then we would have to love him. And if you have to love someone as opposed to doing it of your own free will, then it's really not love, it's compulsion.
Right. And with adults, they're making their own choices, and they're the ones that are doing these things.
there are consequences to a fallen world, just as there are innocent bystanders that get killed in real wars. The war might be a just war, and yet innocent people get killed. So there are always consequences to living in a fallen world. And we can't even legitimately say that we have the answers to the why questions. There are many things we don't understand. We had a preborn child that died, baby Grace. And we can ask the why question, but what we have discovered is that God doesn't always answer that why question. What he does do is teach you how to trust him in the midst of your whys, and then gives you the assurance that one day, everything that is a mystery to you now will become fully evident to you in God's eternity.
Right. Yeah.
The article, though, Kristen, I think would be very, very helpful to you.
Okay. Thank you.
You got it. Appreciate your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Randy next. He's listening in Blackburn, Missouri. Hi, Randy.
Hello. Your program has been a big help with me with my walk with Christ. I have a question about Enoch, and I run across a book of Enoch, and it's not included in the Bible, and I read it, but it was kind of confusing. What's your take on that?
Well, it is confusing, but it is also mentioned in the Bible. In fact, it's mentioned in the book of Jude, because it is quoted by Jude, because all truth is God's truth, and it is making a statement that is worth repeating. But it is an intertestamental, pseudepigraphal Jewish writing, and that's why it is not in the Bible. It's an ancient Jewish pseudepigraphal text written during the intertestamental period. It has some good things in it. If you watch the movie Noah, a lot of that particular movie borrowed heavily from the book of Enoch.
Oh, okay. So it's false. There's no real basis to it.
When you say it's false, I mean, there's true things in it, but it is not canonical, which is to say it was not recognized by the Jews. It is not part of the Jewish canon. It's not part of the Old Testament. So there are a lot of things that we can read that are valuable to us. But just like if I would read a good book or even write a good book, my books are not infallible. It's only the Bible, so I couldn't make one of my books another book of the Bible.
Okay, so it's an element of truth they built off of.
Yeah, good way of putting it. That's quite insightful on your part. It's a muddy mixture of truth and error.
Oh, okay. All right, well, thank you. That helps. It's not really worth studying.
Well, there are a lot of things there. You know, for example, in the Old Testament, there are what are called apocryphal books, or the Apocrypha. Some Christians accept those books. Some Christians put them on a second footing. Some people don't accept those books. But whatever the position is, I mean, if you look at 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Maccabees, they're incredibly valuable because they give us the history of what happens with respect to what was originally prophesied by the prophet Daniel. And you see the unfolding of all of this under Antiochus IV Epiphanes, the Old Testament Antichrist. So very, very valuable from a historical standpoint, if nothing else. Many Christians hold the Apocrypha to be part of the Old Testament.
That helps. Thank you.
You get it, Randy. Thank you so much for your call. And back to the phone lines. Alan, Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Alan.
Hello, Hank. I've got a question about remarriage with a Christian. Does God have anything to say in his word about remarriage? Me and my wife have been divorced for years, both remarried to other people, and I want to know if God's word has anything to say about it.
So here's the deal. You cannot put Humpty Dumpty back together again. If you are a believer, what you need to do is press on, which is to say, love your wife, love your children, love your God, be a testimony. You can't undo the past. You can only go forward. You look at King David, he made some of the most egregious errors, including taking another man's wife, having that man killed in the battlefront, and yet God has forgiven him. Now, this is not to be cavalier about sin, because as I've said many times on this broadcast, the consequences of sin follow inexorably like night follows day. So you can't be cavalier about sin, but you cannot reconstruct the past. What you can do is go forward. So what you need to do now is, as I said, love your wife, love your children, and be a testimony. Be a reproducing disciple maker as God has called us all to be. Commit yourself to Jesus Christ and recognize that he can restore even the years that the locusts have eaten. In other words, this is not designating bad as good, but it is the truth that Scripture communicates, which is the balm of Gilead in our lives, that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to his purposes. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do appreciate all of you who stand with this ministry shoulder to shoulder in the battle for truth in life. I couldn't do what I do without you. Together we're a team making a difference, not just for time, but for eternity. Be right back here, Lord willing, tomorrow with more answers to your questions.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.